We're back, 180 with Carl Claussen, your life, a new direction. Man, we got a treat for you. We're going to mix it up with Dr. George Koch here in just a nanosecond. Let me forecast for you, though. iParent with Don Pearson's coming up. We're going to talk about Alpha Girl. What's that mean? We know Alpha Male. What about Alpha Girl? Well, you can probably read between the lines, but 28 years of ministry experience, and I mean, Don is so respected. We're going to take on some of the cultural twists that have happened in the hearts of boys and girls and get them squared away biblically and see what parents can do to guide your children that way. So hang on. With me right now is Dr. George Koch. He's the author of What We Believe and Why, and he has done a phenomenal job with this work. We're taking on a tough issue today. Let me bring him in. George, how are you, my friend?
Carl, I'm terrific. How are you?
Really well. Really well. I'm excited about this because I think one of the most important things that we can do is learn and glean without condemning, but really listening. And I think you can hold a super high theological bar without compromising it. And sometimes you might have to agree to disagree. Am I off?
Absolutely right on the money. I think one of the great challenges for the church broadly is that we have significant misunderstandings of each other across denominational lines. And even if having clearly understood, instead of mistakenly understood, what those differences are, even when we can finally reach the point where we can clearly understand, then we can respect each other. What's happened again and again is that we've had misunderstandings about what people in other denominational camps believe, and it's caused us to act unfairly and in prejudiced and sometimes violent ways toward them, and we have to stop doing that.
Yeah, that's really good. Again, my guest, Dr. George Koch. He's a graduate of Church Divinity School in King's Seminary, and he's the author of What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. He's also the senior pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago, and we're going to be seeing him on our tour. Okay, prayer. Prayer is an interesting thing, and we see images and icons. Now, I think a lot of people make humongous leaps and assumptions that may or may not be accurate. Jump into some of this, George.
Well, one of the great challenges is Scripture tells us that we're not to form images of anything above the earth or under the earth or in the water.
And that's right.
And of course we do everywhere, both in church and in the culture. Probably the single exception to that these days is Islam, which strictly prohibits the creation of any kind of picture or images, certainly in its most fundamental forms. But Christians and Jews regularly depict people and other elements of the world in statues and in photographs and in paintings because they don't believe that they are worshiping those things, and they read the commandment against the creation of those kinds of images as to prohibit worship of them, not to prohibit the making of them. And I think that's a balanced way to understand the command. However, what's happened in history is some iconoclasts, and those are people who believe in destroying images, have looked at statues or icons in other churches and believed that they have been objects of worship when that wasn't their intent. And that's really the crux of it. That wasn't their intent.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's be this blunt. I love how you write in your book What We Believe and Why. You talk about, let me give it to you this bluntly. So here's a blunt one. How can you hold an icon in front of you, hold it up? What is happening with a person when they hold that icon in front of them, but they are not worshiping it? What are they doing?
Well, two things. First of all, the purpose of paintings in churches and statues and even icons, which are typically small pieces of wood with biblical scenes painted on them, the original purpose of all of those was to tell the Bible stories to people who could not read. And so it was depicted in pictures to communicate certain truths about the Bible narrative.
Okay,
that was the original intent.
Okay, well, that's a huge deal right there. Now, this is what we call in hermeneutics historical cultural context, and that's an important modern contextual understanding of how people learn the gospel message, George.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay. Okay. That's and I love how you've worded that. So this is those icons, those symbols, those paintings, were oftentimes the frescoes that we see are oftentimes there to tell the story to an oral tradition that otherwise wouldn't get it.
Right, because the people who would come into the churches couldn't read the Bible. They just couldn't read. And so the key elements of the biblical narrative and of the Gospels were presented in drawings, in paintings, in stained glass, even in statues, so that people could see what Scripture said in a visual way when they couldn't read. That was the first purpose.
Okay, this is really good. Now, we're going to have to take this in a couple of bites, too, because we're down to 2 minutes, and I want to get this. It is possible, George, isn't it, for us to understand how potentially those icons, paintings, and such can become idols just as much as we can bring fascination and idolatry to a style of worship or a certain leader. And that's not a push, is it, George?
Well, think about a teenager with photographs of Justin Bieber all over his or her room.
That's not a pretty picture at all.
but the point is that we worship, unfortunately, our idols quite easily, and they don't have to be religious idols. They can even be musical idols or television or movie idols. Worship seems to be a natural impulse of the human heart.
Yeah.
The problem is when it's misdirected.
Yeah, that is really good. Well, we're going to put a comma here, because when we think about St. Francis, which is an important character considering the new pope, and some of the other phenomenal images and examples of and paintings of the rich historical spiritual heritage that we have, there's a lot to be explored here. So we're going to go after that. This is George Koch, and you might be listening going, what in the world's going on here? This is kind of cool. Go get a book, What We Believe and Why, at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. I've asked George to come on with us here and walk us through, and frankly, because of his Anglican position at Resurrection Church, his pastorate as an Anglican, he's given us a perspective that for many of us listening right now is like, whoa, where'd that come from? Thanks, George.
Sure thing.
Excellent. Coming up, I Parent with Dawn Pearson, Alpha Girl. What's it mean? 180 with Carl Claussen, your life, a new direction.